The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's approaching 5 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 12th of May 2025. How are you keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. I suppose coming in off the back of a weekend that had us it was just devastating what happened in Buncrana. We're going to be reflecting on the events in Buncrana that began to emerge on early, sort of mid-Saturday afternoon, heading in towards the evening. Absolute devastation in the local area and beyond as well. We're going to be reflecting on that. And you know, it's about the lows and the highs. It's impossible to put things into words because, I mean, at the same time, we had this terrible tragedy unfolding. You had this joy in another part, and it's just everything that seems to be about life to some extent. Different people's experiences and so different the experiences people are going through. But nothing compares, obviously, to the incredible loss that happened in Buncrana. Two young lads very tragically drowning on Saturday, just out enjoying the weather, and got into difficulty. And unfortunately, they have been lost. And our thoughts and prayers are with them, of course, with their families that are here and their families that are in other countries as well, in the local community as a whole, and the emergency services too. There was a huge response to the May Day call, really effectively. The SAR helicopter was involved, the Coast Guard, RNLI, and local vessels became involved in the search as well. And it was clear, even just looking at marine radar, at the extent of the search that was ongoing. Unfortunately, it ended tragically with one person lost initially, and then the body of a second found. And that's the front of the Donegal news this morning. The community of Buncrana has been left reeling following the deaths of two teenagers who died after getting into difficulty in the water at Ned's Point on Saturday afternoon. Emmanuel Famulola, 16, and Matt Sabanda, just 18, lost their lives in the incident. It's thought they, along with a third teenager, had been playing football close by and entered the water to retrieve the ball. Matt, originally from Zimbabwe, was a senior student at Cranach College, while Emmanuel, who was from Nigeria, attended Skullmore at Buncrana, where he was in transition year. They were both residents at different international protection application centres in the town, IPAS centres. Yesterday, hundreds of people packed into St Mary's Oratorium, Buncrana, for a special prayer vigil led by parish priest Father Francis Bradley. He said it was comforting to see members of the international protection community and locals coming together for those who had died. And as I say, we'll be speaking about that extensively on the programme shortly. But I'll run through what's happening in other newspapers. Man 31 charged with child sex offences. This is the Derry News. A 31-year-old man will appear before Derry Magistrates Court this morning, charged with child sex offences. The man is charged with attempted sexual communication with a child and arranging or facilitating the commission of sex offences against a child. It comes after a video circulated online of a man being challenged by paedophile hunters in the Fountain area of Derry on Friday evening. A spokesperson for the PSNI said they take reports of this kind very seriously and investigate them fully by gathering the best possible evidence and making contact with the Public Prosecution Service where appropriate. The spokesperson added, "We understand public concerns about the activity of paedophiles online and the dangers they present to young children." But it seems it's these voluntary groups that are often appears anywhere in the face of it, making the greatest inroads in finding people who would engage with young people in the way they are. The Irish Times, great loss for the Garda community as well. Garda Kevin Flatley, he's married. A great loss to his wife and two young children as well. All very, very sad indeed. The President, the Taoiseach and Garda Commissioner have paid tribute to a Garda who died yesterday after being hit by a motorcycle while working at a checkpoint in North County Dublin. Garda Kevin Flatley, 49, a member of the Roads Policing Unit, was pronounced dead at the scene of the incident, which happened on the R132 road near Lanestown at 12:50 p.m. The motorcyclist, a man in his 30s, was taken to hospital in a serious condition. Garda Flatley, a married father of two young children living in Balbriggan, had more than 25 years' experience and was remembered as a well-respected member of the force. And it appears that he was operating a high-visibility checkpoint. He had his Jeep with him. The way they work is that he would monitor the speed of traffic with a gun, you know, the guns that they use, the radar guns, effectively. And they can sort of track the speed some distance out. He obviously was tracking the motorcycle and found that he needed to engage with that driver of that motorcycle and stepped out to flag him down, and was subsequently struck by the high-powered motorcycle. The motorcyclist himself is in a serious condition in hospital, but is expected to recover. Sense of loss, of course. He's the 90th, Garda Kevin Flatley, the 90th member of the force to die on duty since the foundation of the state. You heard this covered in the news, perhaps, but maybe some of you tune in just after the news, so I thought I would mention this as well. And this is our waiting times in emergency departments. And patients can now expect to endure an average stay of over 7 hours in hospital emergency departments, which is 1 hour longer than a decade ago, new figures reveal. The HSE measures patient experience times, covering the entire visit from the point at which a person registers at the emergency department to when they get a bed or are discharged. This year, the national average is 72 hours, up from 6 hours a decade ago, but slightly better than 2022, when it was 7.5 hours. Now, there's one element of these figures that I would love to just explore a little bit more, because these waiting time figures, as outlined by The Independent today, are from when you go into the hospital until when you get a bed. Is it when you get a bed or when you're admitted to the hospital and maybe you're put on a trolley? That's the one thing about these figures that I'm not really quite sure about. The average time for Letterkenny University Hospital is 8.1 hours. The HSE target is an average wait time of 6 hours for 95% of emergency departments. Tallaght University Hospital, you can expect to wait 12.6 hours. Naas General, 11.4. Beaumont, 10.8. As I mentioned, Letterkenny, 8.1. But elsewhere, there are very short waiting times. For an example, St. Luke's Kilkenny, 3.6 hours. St. Michael's Hospital, 3.7. So there are great variances, but as I say, just that criteria as to when you're counted as being admitted, is it when you get onto a trolley or is it when you actually get into a bed? Because I think those are two very different things. The Daily Mail this morning, some 4,000 Ukrainian refugees face being moved out of their current homes as pressure on private supplied accommodation eases. The government moves expected to release a significant tranche of hotel rooms and accommodation normally designated for students. The decision will be announced by Minister of State for Migration, Colin Brophy, today and will be cleared by the Cabinet tomorrow. Ukrainians will be getting a tap on the shoulder on Monday, that's today, and will be expected to be out of their accommodation by August. It's a move that will be welcomed by rural TDs who have faced protests in areas where there's a shortage of hotel rooms and community facilities. The government temporarily paused moves to relocate Ukrainian refugees after a series of local controversies over the uprooting of Ukrainian families who had put down roots in Ireland in March. Now, the reason the vast majority of Ukrainians are here is because of a war in Ukraine. And there could be a major step towards the ending of that war. It remains to be seen. One can be optimistic, perhaps, when you have key figures from both Russia and Ukraine meeting. And that's exactly what they're going to do. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says that he will meet Vladimir Putin for peace talks this week if the Kremlin tyrant, as he's described here, announced a full ceasefire. Now, that prerequisite has been taken off the table since the paper went to press. Zelensky is going to be in Turkey one way or other, and he expects to meet with Vladimir Putin. Mr. Zelensky added that the prospect of negotiations is a positive sign. Russia's President Putin yesterday sidestepped an ultimatum from the UK, the US, France, Germany and Poland to announce a 30-day ceasefire or face increased sanctions. He said, "We're ready for serious talks with Ukraine and we want to solve the root cause of the conflict." Putin claimed Ukraine had broken previous ceasefires, but he suggested peace talks between the nations on Thursday in Istanbul, in Turkey. And as I say, since this paper went to press, Zelensky has said he will meet in Turkey on Thursday, which could be significant. Weight loss jabs are being lined up as a cancer-beating super weapon. This is according to The Sun, and it's published in a number of papers. And cancer, of course, incredibly serious, and one hopes there's responsible representation of the research in relation to this. But new research shows they halve the risk of developing the disease. Users had a lower danger than those who had slimming surgery, even if they did not lose as much weight. Cancer experts now want to test tens of thousands of people in a crucial clinical trial. They believe the effects on inflammation, hormones and chemicals in the blood might offer added protection on top of the benefits of weight loss. So this carrying excess weight, of course, is one of the causes of cancer. So, you know, these jabs are not only reducing people's weight, but also reducing the risk of cancer at the same time, on top of the benefits of the weight loss. The study compared 3,200 patients who lost weight with GLP-1 injections with 3,200 who had surgery. Follow-up tests showed the cancer rate in surgical patients compared with jab patients, and it was significantly lower in those who received the jab. So both cohorts lost weight, which is an advantage, of course. Both lost weight, but those who lost it through the jab also seem to have a much lower risk of cancer. Finally, in the Irish Daily Star this morning, the Pope made a passionate plea to world leaders for no more war during his first Sunday address at the Vatican. Pope Leo XIV demanded change as tens of thousands of people crammed into St. Peter's Square to give him a rapturous welcome. He called for a lasting peace in the war in Ukraine, a ceasefire in Gaza, and praised the agreement and recent hostilities between India and Pakistan. And it must be said as well, you know, the hostilities between India and Pakistan, that was a US-brokered ceasefire. And of course, Donald Trump has been very influential in bringing Russia to the table in the Ukraine situation. And it remains to be seen what impact he might have on the situation in the Middle East during a visit to the Middle East this week. But, you know, a lot of people said that Donald Trump would trigger wars all over the place. But, I mean, if you look at it objectively, he does seem to be something of a peacemaker, bringing India and Pakistan back from the brink, forcing Ukraine and Russia to the table. Of course, very pro-Israel in the Middle East, but an American hostage is being released, so perhaps maybe he could make some inroads there. Now, the community of Bunkrana and all of us really have been left reeling following the deaths of two teenagers who died while getting into difficulty in water off Ned's Point on Saturday afternoon. They were Emmanuel Femilola, 16, and Matt Sabanda, just 18. They lost their lives in the incident. Joe Joyce is press officer with Lochswilly Lifeboat Station, who was involved in the coordination of the rescue on Saturday. Joe, can you sort of outline to us how the operation started and went and who was involved, etc.
Good morning, Greg, certainly. At about 4 o'clock on Saturday, we got a request for assistance from the Marine Rescue Centre based in Malin Head there, that there was people in the water in difficulty at Bunkrana. It transpired that there was three teenagers in the water in difficulty. One of them managed to get ashore and, with the assistance of a member of the public, managed to get out along the shore path there as you head over towards the Conbury there in Bunkrana. The other two were kind of swept out. The Coast Guard issued what we call a Mayday, asking any vessels in the area to come and assist and get to Bunkrana if they could, if they were in that area, to come in and help. We launched our two lifeboats, one from the Ned's Point and one from Bunkrana. A former crew member of ours was on the water in his own private boat. Him and his wife were out, and they immediately came to the scene and found Emmanuel floating in the water. He recovered him onto his boat and immediately commenced CPR. And he was joined later by two crew members from Lochswilly who came onto his boat and took Emmanuel back to the pier in Buncrana, onto the lifeboat berth there, and they immediately started the CPR and working on him. The National Ambulance Service there had a number of ambulances there, and they worked on Emmanuel there. They worked on him for about an hour. They threw everything at it. really impressive. There was a doctor on scene. They took the decision that because of his young age and that, they weren't just giving up on him. They decided to transport him to Letterkenny General Hospital. So he was taken to Letterkenny under Garda escort there, and he was put on life support. But unfortunately, he passed away there in the early hours of Sunday morning. What was particularly tragic about that was the family, the Gardaí had cleared the pier at this stage. Yeah. The family were all there. They were kind of looking out to sea, bewildered, not knowing what was going on. And at the same time, Emmanuel was down there, you know, fighting for his life. So that was particularly tragic. Meanwhile, back out in the lock there, we were joined by a number of teams from the Greencastle Coast Guard and a drone team from Mulroy, along with the rescue helicopter from Sligo, the Coast Guard helicopter, Rescue 118. And we had commenced a very, very thorough search of the whole lock. There was a yacht race going on at the time, and they immediately stopped and came to our aid. So we had about 12 boats assisting us, along with a number of other small motorboats from the marina. And we commenced a big creeping head search from basically Father Hegarty's Rock on up towards Buncrana and on up towards the golf links and on up to Fawn. That was searched several times, but to no avail. That search continued for approximately 4 hours, and again back on the shore there, the family were there at the pier, looking out, desperately seeking, hoping that there'd be some sign. The local PP had come down and had a small prayer service with the family, and just hoping against hope that something would happen. We started looking then at the search, and we're starting to lose light and wondering how long could this go on. And we were making the decision that we would probably wind the search down around about maybe 10 o'clock with a view to starting at midnight again when the tide had gone out to search the shoreline. We were pretty sure in the area that he would be in at this stage based on kind of local knowledge over there in that Ladies Bay area there under the Fruit of the Loom factory, known as the Conabry, over that area there. The helicopter had gone at this stage. They had refueled, come back and had left again. They have obviously heat seeking infrared cameras that can highlight anybody in the water and anything like that, but we couldn't get anything like that. The Coast Guard put up drones then and searched again that area there, and we picked out a pair of green togs in the water. That was Matty. He was kind of semi-submerged. Even though there was teams on the shore about 20 foot from him, they couldn't exactly see him. The boat, the Coast Guard boat came in then and recovered him onto the shore, or recovered him onto their boat, sorry, brought him back to the pier in Buncrana. The Coast Guard team then set up a tent, and he was recovered into that tent there, and he was pronounced dead there. The family then were brought there to identify the body, and it was a terrible scene. The wailing, the crying, just the final realization that this was the end. It was really, really terrible. That was kind of basically it. The search went in, then he was taken to the undertakers came then and took him away, and that was kind of the end of the night for the crew. We had a debrief then to talk about what happened, and met up the next morning and had another chat, and we're kind of working through that process there now at the moment.
It's just beyond it's beyond sad, Joe, and also obviously you and I and everyone thinking on the two young lads and their families, but you know, yourself, Joe, and the rest involved in the rescue. You know, you're just normal people, and it's tough for everybody, isn't it? Because you know, what you actually are trying to do is find people, but then of course, when you find people who are deceased and the impact that has on everyone, it's just unbelievably sad.
Well, there was a lot of people involved in the search. There were probably about 60 people involved in this rescue mission. We always launch with the intention of bringing the people that are in difficulty back to safety, back alive and well. There comes a point in any rescue when the rescue turns into a recovery, and that's always a difficult place for the crew to be, knowing that they've fired everything at it and have been unsuccessful. You know, it's very difficult. And like, there was a prayer service on Sunday there, and you know, huge hundreds and hundreds of people came to. You know, the support. We're very lucky in Donegal with the services that we have: the Coast Guard, the Marine Rescue Centre, the National Ambulance Service, and Garda Síochána. Like, an awful lot of resources were fired at this, but to no avail. And we've got to support those people there now. We had some new crew there. It's really the first time witnessing something like that. So we have to support them over the next number of weeks and make sure that they're okay.
Yeah, but I mean, the one thing that could be worse than this is if the young lads' bodies weren't recovered, and it was only with the, you know, the level of dedication and experience and understanding of those waters that you were able to return these young lads to their families, because, you know, it would be even more difficult. As I say, it's the only thing that could make it any more difficult is if they didn't have their boys with them. Joe, listen, we're thinking on all of you as well in this. I know the families are the principals in our thoughts, but it's a terrible, stressful situation for all of you, and you did amazing, amazing professional work. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for your support, Greg.
All right, take care, Joe Joyce. I'll have a very brief word with Councillor Jack Maury Cahirlock of Inishowen Municipal District. We have heard from Jack already, but Jack, just... How does one put this into words? It's impossible. No, I've lost Jack, so I'll go now to Emma Gova, who is a family friend. Emma, we heard from Joe there. I mean, it's absolutely devastating. Talk to me about these two young lads.
You know, both Mac and Emmanuel were very, and I'm not just saying this, very respectful young fellows, I'm going to call them young fellows because they're part of our community. And any time I seen them, you know, there was a smile and hello, auntie. And, you know, they would never clash you without saying hello. And so respectful to their moms, Gloria and Bonnie. And real caretakers of their younger siblings as well. And they had become such wonderful members of our community. And it's quite, I'd say, difficult to put in towards the loss that they're, you know, the loss is immeasurable for their families and their friends and their siblings and our community.
You were just happened to be in the hospital. Emmanuel was the 16-year-old, and his mum Glory.
Yes.
And Glory landed in the hospital, and we heard from Joe the hours that were put in to try and save Emmanuel.
Yes.
Were you able to? Were you speaking to her? Because I'm thinking
I was.
For a familiar face to be there at that time, it would have been some comfort to her.
She was surrounded by friends, and while she was waiting for her pastors, Ruth and Andrew, who have given tremendous support since these families have arrived, and they were on their way up. So I spoke on the phone when I found out about the tragedy unfolding. I was upstairs with my own daughter. And I said, I'll go down, because my own daughter was sleeping at the time. I'll go down, and I wasn't sure what the situation I would find when I got down there, if you know what I mean. Because I was getting bits and pieces of information, so I said, I'll go down. And when I entered A&E, it was really just a sight of devastation. You know, when I entered the relatives room, And what can you say? So I sat with her and held her hand and we prayed. And we prayed hard for a miracle. And then Ruth and Andrew arrived and I went back up to my daughter and said I would come back down. But I was also trying to care for my child. Mm-hmm. I said I would come back down when I could. And I was keeping in touch via phone with friends that were there. And then we got the news that there was nothing else really they could do at midnight. And then we all just we stayed with Glory until Emmanuel passed.
I have
never seen anything like it. And I would never want to witness that sort of grief again. To be quite honest with you, Greg, it's a night I will never forget. Mm-hmm. And it will live long in my memory. And I just remember holding two of the girls out in the corridor when Ruth and Andrew supported Glory in the room while she had some time alone. And, it was just...
It must just feel completely unreal. It must feel unreal for Glory. It really must.
I saw Glory yesterday. I went down to the prayer service. I went down, but beforehand to see other friends who have also been affected by this tragedy. And me and my children went down, and we saw them, and we went to the prayer service. And I was coming back up to the hospital in the evening, and the trauma and the pain and the heartbreak for these families and their friends it's unmeasurable, really. Heartbreak seems like such a small word for such a massive feeling.
Of course, Matt, originally from Zimbabwe, and Emmanuel from Nigeria, so, you know, there are families that are going to be hearing that news in those countries as well. And
there was a lot of time spent on the phone.
Yeah.
Spent trying to get and that was members of the Nigerian community and themselves as well, who were here delivering updates back and forward. And, it's just... You know, we talk, I take my hat off to Joe and all in the RNLI. We know that they did absolutely everything that they could, and all the emergency services. And my heart goes out to family, but I also want to pay tribute to Ruth and Andrew Garvey-Williams, who really, from the very beginning for these families, have stepped up and supported them. And when I tell you that they didn't leave Glory's side, they didn't leave Glory's side. From the beginning until the end.
It's just incredibly sad.
It's just, when I went back to the ward where my child was, and maybe it's insensitive to say this, I hugged my daughter later that night.
No, I think lots of people would have squeezed their children a little bit tighter in the wake of that news. That's human, Emma. Listen, look after yourself as well. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Emma. Father Francis Bradley is the parish priest of Buncrana and Fawn, and he's with us now. Francis, it's just the we're just hearing from people from Joe Joyce, that those trying to rescue, to Emma, who was with the families as they learnt the worst news any parent can receive. It's so much grief and sadness, Father.
It sure is. Grief and loss and tragedy are hard to come to terms with. At the best of times, then there is not a human being living on the face of the earth but has or will experience it. But in these circumstances, it's particularly sharp, it's raw, and it's real. For these families, who have already suffered so very much, the sacrifices they've had to make, for example, to leave their homeland and to try to search out a new place, as any parent would, to secure a livelihood and a future for their children. And then for this to befall them here, it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to come to terms with. Bonnie, the mother of Matt, she had Matt and Sandy here. And they are two of her children. But she left two more behind. She had to leave two more behind in Zimbabwe. And that was a sacrifice in itself. And if you could hear in Emma's words there that we've just heard, you know, there is a great coalition of those. A group of people who are just groups of people, not a group, groups of people. Numbers overwhelming, as could be seen yesterday at the vigil of prayer for them. People who are just willing to do anything and everything that they could in order to lessen the pain, the burden that's on these families. And people who can do little other than pray at times, because one of the things that hits us when we are beset by grief and loss is a sense of powerlessness. What can I do? What can we do?
Yes, indeed. Father, are you still there? You are dipping in and out a little bit, but can you still hear me? No, I think unfortunately, Father Bradley, I've lost. We will try and reconnect with him at some point. Councillor Fionnuala Bradley is with me as well, and I think Councillor, you know, obviously joining in expressing our deep condolences to the families of the two young boys that lost their lives and everyone affected by this, but also, you know, I watched on from a distance, it has to be said, to the Malin Head Coast Guard coordinated search. And these are just regular people, you know, a lot of them are our uncles or our brothers or our sisters that are involved in this type of activity. They get the call and they're out, and they don't know what's going to meet them. They were unbelievable in how they responded, Fionnuala.
Craig, absolutely. And firstly, good morning to yourself and good morning to all your listeners. Listen, I just want to take this opportunity to thank the emergency services, and in particular the members of the RNLA and Bunkana. I mean, they're volunteers, they get no pay or remuneration for the great work that they do. And on Saturday afternoon, when the pagers went off and the call came in, they just dropped everything and ran, and they really did more than they could to try and bring the two boys safely home. And unfortunately, on this occasion, that just wasn't meant to be, and circumstances were and are tragic. And if I might, Greg, when I have the opportunity, I just want to thank Father Bradley as well. Time and time again, in times of tragedy and in times of sorrow, I think we see the value of our priests and the terrible stress and pressure that they're under. And that was certainly evident yesterday at the vigil for Father Bradley on Saturday evening, because he too dropped everything to come and we want the families to comfort them and to pray with them and to pray for the boys. And that certainly doesn't go and hasn't gone unrecognized. And just to thank him and to thank the emergency service.
Mm. Okay, Fionnuala, unfortunately that line is not fantastic either, but we appreciate your comments and the sentiments. Caller says, rest in peace to the young boys. Heartbreaking for the poor families and the poor rescue services. You can hear the emotion in his voice, so tragic. Another morning, Greg, yesterday in St. Mary's Oratory in Bunkrana was full of love and compassion for the two young boys who drowned on Saturday and for their families. The church was packed to capacity with an overflow of people outside. It was a far cry from the hate that's been spouted about the migrant community over the last few months. Right. It is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. I do want to take the opportunity, if I can, to go back to Father Francis Bradley. Father Bradley, unfortunately, the line failed on us, but I think you were reflecting on the coming together of people yesterday, Father.
Absolutely. As Emma was saying just before I was speaking to you, there are just hordes of people who are willing, different groups of people who are willing to do what they can in order to lessen the burden of pain and difficulty on the families. Everyone, you know, you talk, we often hear, you know, in terms of war and defending the boundaries or the borders of Europe, about coalition of the willing, you know, but there is, in real terms, a coalition of the willing working in Bonkrana, as there have been in other places, in Krisla, in different places down through the years. People who, despite feeling relatively powerless, are nevertheless doing absolutely everything they can in order to bring solace, bring hope, to give some expression of solidarity, of welcome, and just on a very human level. Nothing to do with faith expression, really, nothing to do with culture, but everything to do with just a common shared humanity, which crosses every boundary and reaches out and touches every heart. Every heart.
Father,
and I know that from...
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, Matt originally from Zimbabwe,
yes,
and Emmanuel from Nigeria. If their families, yes, were in an IPAS centre, it might not be clear as of yet where their future, the family's future, lies. So with that in mind, what do we know about plans for the funerals for these two young boys?
Well, we know absolutely nothing as of yet. Nothing whatsoever.
Which makes it even more difficult for the families, I can imagine.
Well, it does, but it gives us all, themselves included, the benefit of time.
Mm.
And time, we need time. They need time. There's some talk of some relatives coming from Zimbabwe or from Nigeria, and the efforts that are being made by the Department of Affairs and others far away from here to make sure that can be facilitated. And none of this is easy. You know, these were children, young people under international protection orders. That's there for a reason. And so all...
Okay, we're going to leave that there, I think, because... that line is breaking down on us. That was Father Francis Bradley, parish priest of Bonkrana and Fawn. We'll be back with more shortly. We are going to Killybegs now, and the chair of Killybegs Community Council is Anne Conaghan. Anne, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Greg, for calling us.
Right. Now, this is off the back of businesses coming together, opposing works in the town. So what's going on and what problems is it causing?
Greg, I'd like to clarify, I suppose it's not opposing works really in the town. There is the ongoing regeneration of the Diamond mm-hmm. area in the town has been going on for approximately the last 18 months to 2 years. And it's been quite a long, drawn-out process that has longer than anybody would have expected. And as such, has caused a lot of disruption in the town, particularly for the businesses down around the Diamond area.
But on the face of it, it is positive that this work was happening, because it, you know, it adds to the town. It's just how long it's taken and the programme of works and how disruptive it is.
Yeah, I think absolutely everybody is acknowledging that it is of great benefit to the town that this area has been developed and completed and is looking really, really well. It's just the disruption that has been caused over this period of time, particularly for the area, for the businesses down that area. And that has been quite a financial hit over time for all those businesses. I'm a business owner myself, but I'm up at the other end of the town, so therefore it hasn't really affected us as much. At the moment, the issue would be that there are some really, I suppose, in a way, aesthetic works, and the council may disagree with that, that need to be finished off with a number of crossings that need to be paved. And it will be absolutely great to get them done, and it will really finish everything off really well. And we're going to have a, you know, a great looking Diamond area and a great looking town, which is brilliant. But it's the timing of these. There has been very little communication with any of the businesses, practically none, around when these works are going to happen. And that is the biggest issue, is communication, to be honest. We just need a dialogue with the council around when these works are going to happen. Ideally, we would really need them to happen at night, when they're not affecting businesses. And we also have to take in consideration the hospitality industry with pubs and that are up the street also. And it's a difficult one, and it needs a bit of negotiation. And everybody's going to have to work together on this. Mm. But the problem is there has been very little communication around it.
And there is there's quite a prolonged closure of Main Street planned as well. What is that from today?
It is meant to be, as far as I know, and again, this is the problem, as far as we know, it is meant to be from this evening and for the majority of the week. But okay. Now, to be honest, I would say to you, kind of, don't quote me on that, because I actually don't know. And none of us know. This is the thing. We don't know. That was announced, but we're not even sure whether that's exactly what is going to happen. Things have changed. Mm. And we've heard none of the businesses, we have a business group, and none of them have heard anything as yet this morning. I know all of our councillors have been working with the council to work to negotiate on this and to try and get us, the best outcome possible. But the businesses need to have a voice in this. And I think that's kind of part of the problem, is we feel we haven't had a voice in this. Sorry, I'm outside here.
How can you plan in terms of staff, in terms of opening hours, in terms of alternative access? How can you plan if there's no consultation?
No, the problem. We can't. There's people trying to plan for shop deliveries, food deliveries into businesses. As you say, exactly that, staffing. I have a hospitality business myself, and that's one of the issues. Are we going to be able to, are businesses like that down in that area going to be able to open? How busy is it going to be? Rotas are out now. Staff rotas have to be out at this stage. At the end of the week has started. Are you going to be sending people home?
But what I don't understand, obviously you've got the community council, you've got the Cathaoirleach of the council, for crying out loud, from the town. You've got other councillors very close by with an interest in this. How have we found, I'm not blaming anyone, but how have we arrived at the situation where still businesses don't actually know the programme of works officially? It's quite bizarre.
We don't know. And we do know that all of our councillors have been working, including our Cathaoirleach, have been working behind the scenes to negotiate with the council and to try and work out what is the best way option. And we have been in communication constantly over the last 2 weeks. I think they're probably fed up getting emails from me. Kevin Hegarty has been acting as one of our spokespersons as well. But this is coming from all of the businesses. It is not just one or two. Not everybody just is maybe comfortable on voicing very publicly their opinion. But it is coming from everybody. Everybody is concerned about it.
And I think it should be noted as well that this isn't the first inconvenience that businesses have been relatively quiet, even having to suffer previous inconveniences. But this is almost that bridge too far, because you don't know how, I can imagine, if you lose 40% of trade this week, it's going to take into the middle of June to catch up, if you know what I mean. It's not insignificant.
That's right. It's most definitely not insignificant. And this is really probably the straw that broke the camel's back. Because, as I said, the community council have been working with the county council and the regeneration team over the last number of months. It's been, a slightly difficult relationship. We have been trying to get communication from them on when things are happening, what things are happening, that sort of thing. And we've looked for that all along. But the businesses have been, I think, very patient. They have been quiet. They've been going along with it. They've had to make massive adjustments. They've had to organise deliveries coming in at different times. They've had to, change staffing. They have been quiet. Okay. And I think this is the straw that comes back. Also, one thing I would say, Greg, is I don't think we can even, the businesses can probably measure it financially if they looked at accounts and compared what their financial hit has been over time. But there's another one that kind of a more, shall we say, probably a social hit that people have got, in that older people.
Yeah.
Over the time that this project has taken, there's definitely older people that have stopped coming into town because they can't get parking, and they're not, it's a habit that's broken.
Yeah, okay. Do you know what? It might be no harm for maybe a targeted sort of re-engagement with the older community.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe the council or some other relevant body can sort that out. All right, and we'll make contact with the council.
That's something we have to do.
For sure. We'll make contact with the council to see if we can get any answers for you. That's Anne Conaghan, Chair of Killybegs Community Council.